I'm shocked that you wanted to talk to me with all that's going on.
Life goes on. Yeah. A couple of days ago when I called my secretary and I said, could you please get just a small handful of things from my home? My birth certificate and my passport, as if I could go anywhere. Can you please get these few things? And it's amazing when you, at least for me, when I think about what it is that it is precious, it's not very much.
Where is your house?
My house is in Oakville, and I'm very close actually to Plumpjack, Gavin Newsom's winery, in the news a little bit. So it's very close to his winery.
Well, best of luck. I'll be praying for you.
Thank you.
So we're looking at the future, but we're also looking at the past with your book, Perfectly Paired, The Love Affair Behind Silver Oak Cellars.
It's a love story, but it also goes into the creation of Silver Oak Cellars, which really came out of Justin and my love for each other. And I felt our love and our relationship infused the wine. People could feel it because the wines and the winery became a huge attractor. We didn't have social media there, but people more and more just were attracted to us. The love affair, the wine, the winery, but it's also about loss and grief. In our culture, we don't deal with loss and grief very well. We don't talk about it. We seem to be inarticulate. I thought it was important to speak about my journey so that people didn't feel so weird about things that they experienced when they were in grief.
A lot of people are going to be intrigued with the fact that Justin was a monk. Was there any part of you that said, this guy is, come on, he's off limits. As great as he is, I can't have him.
Oh, absolutely. I had gone to a Catholic school, and I was very familiar with nuns and monks and priests, so very clear. When I first met Justin, it was his birthday. It was a birthday party. At the end of that birthday dinner, we started playing music together at the dining room table, played for 2 or 3 hours, and so we had an immediate musical friendship. I dated other people when I was in college, even though I had a growing love for Justin, brother Justin, in that time. After a number of months of just playing music at church, we realized that we were in love with each other. So then ensued like a 4-year struggle. Yeah. But eventually, obviously, he did. He made that decision. We got married a few months later.
Now, you had a long, happy life with him, and sadly, he died right in front of you at a time when you had just sold Silver Oak Winery. You were looking at a whole new life, a whole new beginning, maybe.
You know, so many of us, we have these ideas of what's going to happen next, and retirement is prime time for that, where people start thinking about, okay, what do I want to do? And so you have these ideas and dreams about how you want to spend your time. And then, you know, surprise. You know, that's a big part of the grief journey. We're needing to let go of our imagined future. Need to regroup and say, okay, now what? You know, and there's a readjustment that needs to happen, a letting go of that imagined future.
I was very impressed with how you reinvented yourself after Justin's death. Very interested in the whole idea of regenerative living and regenerative farming. What got you there?
Justin was a pretty extraordinary person. And right when he died, I decided that I was going to embody his best qualities. And by being more genuine and generous, living boldly with personal integrity, unpretentious self-confidence, and joyful humor. It's not that I didn't have some of these qualities, but I really focused on them. And the living boldly was a big one for me. I was happy to have Justin kind of be in the limelight, and I was in the background doing marketing and all this other stuff for the winery. Living boldly meant for me to really jump into things I hadn't tried before. And on his death, I had money to invest on behalf of my family. And I had not been a serious investor before. I really didn't know the language. It has its own vocabulary, by the way, and there was a lot to learn. I did my best to learn what I needed to, but after a couple of years, I realized I only wanted to invest in things that actually were solving environmental, social, or economic problems. And I've been very pleased with that path. Not all these businesses actually succeeded. And of course, if it goes out of business, then your investment is not regenerative and it's not sustainable. But over time, the field has grown a lot. There are a lot more choices out there.
You've grown a lot.
I have. So regenerative investing, just for anyone who would like to know, really it just means that the environment or community is better off at the end of the day, you know, which is different than investing to make money, which in too many cases has left the community worse or the environment worse. Yeah. That can't go on. We will not survive as humans. The earth will survive, but we will not survive if we don't start investing for a better world and leaving things better for our children, grandchildren, and the next generations beyond that. Investing also can take the form of, by the way, where do I buy my groceries? And am I investing in people in the community? Even though it costs a little bit more, can I make different choices so that every little thing I do in my home and in my life can contribute to a better future for everyone?
And what about waste and also what we buy that we really don't need? We think before we plunk down our dollar.
Absolutely. And it's not complicated. Just think in terms of what am I doing to support life of all beings and life of the planet? What am I doing in all the big and little ways? Regenerative farming, by the way, something that's relatively new. It started with an organization called the Savory Institute that discovered that when you take grazing land that had become more like desert over time, and you actually put, instead of having 100 cows on 100 acres, you put 100 cows on 1 acre. When you do that for 3 days, you give them some supplemental feed, but you've also planted prairie grass, just mixed pasture on your property. And for a couple of years, you need to supplement those cows. But after a while, they actually, when you move them every 3 days, you move them to the next acre so they can intensely eat what's there and churn up the soil. And then you move them to the next acre. In 3 years, you have completely regenerated the soil. It is alive. It has worms and bugs. And so by just farming differently, to farm the soil, kind of bottom line, regenerative farming and regenerative land management is actually managing and farming the soil so that it can support us. Because we have 80 years of topsoil left on the planet. If we don't farm differently, if we don't farm this way, there will be no topsoil left to grow crops.
I also like how the whole regenerative concept encompasses every part of life, not just farming.
Exactly. But I love the farming as a metaphor. What am I doing? How am I feeding the soil of my life, feeding the soil of my relationship? How am I feeding these things so that they just will thrive?
Which brings me to, how is your soil doing? Have you found love again?
I have not. I have to say that Justin was such an extraordinary person. I have a few men friends who I deeply admire, but they're in wonderful married relationships. So yeah, if I were to be in a deep relationship again, it needs to be with somebody I deeply admire.
Never know what the future may bring, right?
You never know. You know, once you have been in a great relationship, the great thing is I know what that looks like. I know kind of how to do it, even though that sounds a little silly.
You're still involved. Well, I guess your son and daughter-in-law are running Meyer Family Cellars now. Are you still involved, or do you like to just watch at a distance?
Well, I'm heading up there tomorrow for the release day.
What's so the name of the wine again? It's Bonnie?
Bonnie's Vineyard.
Yeah.
Justin started making Bonnie's Vineyard. It was kind of a surprise. It was a gift to make this special wine and name it after me. And it's a really very, very beautiful, beautiful wine. So that's exciting. I'm involved, though, only on the periphery. You know, there are people who retire from one business or another and they decide they want to start a winery, and I wouldn't recommend it. Take 20 or 30 years really to establish yourself. And I think of it as being a business for young people with a lot of enthusiasm and energy. Yeah, they pretty much run it. And I cheer them on from the sidelines.
That's nice. That's the best way. I did want to ask you about the pandemic and how that has affected you and your community.
The way the pandemic has affected me is I normally am going to investment conferences and philanthropy conferences, and I'm not going anywhere. And I normally was traveling once or twice a month. So my suitcases are
cobwebs on them, right.
So the big thing is I'm not traveling. My home is surrounded, I hope, still, by vineyard and gardens. And I have really loved being home. And I know that that's a lot of people's experience. I've heard that Home Depot and some of those places that people are fixing up their houses and noticing things. Oh, I've been meaning to fix that or refinish that piece of furniture for a long time. And so, like everybody else, I have been really enjoying being home. Because I live in the country, I've really enjoyed being able to wander around outside, be in nature. So I have felt really grateful. And I do interact with people on a regular basis. Farming doesn't stop. The vines, they're not susceptible to the pandemic, and we need to keep tending them and feeding them. So there's a lot of activities where I live that just hasn't stopped. Everyone that works in the vineyard is wearing a mask, and we've got some protocols. So that part's different, but it's not hugely different for me. I miss hanging out with my grandkids. That's the biggest thing.
Well, it's been delightful talking to you, and I wish you the best of luck on Perfectly Paired. I guess your book tour is going to be on Zoom until, right?
You are my book tour.
Excellent. And the best of luck to you with regard to the fires.
Yeah, thank you so much, Pat.
All right. Thank you so
bye
much. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.